It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, and it's going to be a good show today we got coming for you. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Owen Pulley and John Easter, a quiet crowd, to say the least, for this one. But lots to talk about as the NFL draft was over the weekend. Also, Colts, they drafted a few good players, you could say. 8 total players selected for the Colts. Another playoffs.
Another Ben Davis Giant going to the NFL. Asisi Otomewo
going to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Big O.
NBA playoffs as well.
Asisi Otomewo. Sorry.
There you go.
I threw another O in there. He is the Big O for Ben Davis.
Yeah.
But NBA playoffs, also round 2.
Okay, we'll just pass over that. Just pass over a Ben Davis Giant going to the...
I mean, you hit on it.
It's awesome. It's a big deal,
It's
a big deal, and we're going to talk about it whenever we talk about the NFL draft.
Especially since it's like 2 years in a row. But anyway, go ahead. Yes.
Then IndyCar at Barber.
Yeah,
IndyCar.
That was not a cat. That was an Indy. This is the month of May, too.
This is the month of May.
Is it May yet?
It is May.
It's going to be May.
Yeah.
But it is May.
Yep. This is May. Hashtag.
And like you were mentioning, a Ben Davis player got drafted in the NFL draft for the second consecutive
year. We already talked about it now. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, now we're talking about the NFL draft. So the draft, it was interesting. Lots of trades. The most trades ever in round one of the NFL draft happened this year.
Only one quarterback drafted in the first round.
Only one quarterback drafted in the first two rounds.
Sorry, first two rounds. Kenny Pickett to Pittsburgh, pick 20.
I predicted that in my mock draft, by the way, too. Everything else, though, really not.
I think a lot of people predicted Kenny Pickett going number, or not number
one. I mean, he went to Pittsburgh.
Going to Pittsburgh because...
And it just made sense.
You see the thing about Aiden Hutchinson, how he like played peewee ball in Michigan, played high school in Michigan, played at Michigan, and now plays for the Detroit Lions.
But you know what team he was a fan of?
Yeah, in Michigan.
He wasn't a fan of the Lions. He was a Patriots fan.
I'm sorry. My condolences.
Yeah.
Because he said, well, then the Lions sucked, and he wanted to go to a team that was winning.
So he's a bandwagon.
He's a bandwagon. But, well, he's going to have to vote for them Lions to win now because he got drafted there. But with the first pick in the NFL draft, the Jaguars, Clown Town, as people call them.
Travion Walker. Good enough to beat the Colts, though.
Yeah.
Only in Jacksonville/London.
So we will see that if they continue that this season. But Travion Walker went number one, the Georgia D tackle, the 6'5", 272. I mean, I predicted it because I saw rumors of it. Do I think he's the best in the draft? I think Hutchinson's probably the best when it comes to down to it. But the number two pick, obviously, Hutchinson, the Michigan DN going to the Lions. On the third pick, the Texans getting Derek Stingley Jr., a cornerback. So Houston Texans improving their secondary. That was hideous last season.
They couldn't really do much wrong. If they picked anybody, they were improving something.
They could have picked the locker room trash can.
They could have picked the locker room trash can that was once used by the Houston Astros in the dugout to signal pitches and still actually improved.
I was thinking some random thing. The air conditioning unit in the Astrodome.
That could be, that could have been better.
Yeah.
Fourth pick.
Jackson doesn't even react to our jokes.
No.
He just is like, fourth pick. I'm moving on.
I mean, I do. It's just trying to get all
just
of that.
Just tell us it wasn't funny.
Some of them are, but some of them aren't.
Some of them are just, we're trying to keep the progress going.
Okay.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day Owen will be
the chaos theory. We're throwing chaos into the show at you.
Yeah. Off the rails meet Sports Spotlight.
Something like that.
And I just dodge it every time because my reaction time is just up there.
Yeah. Cat-like.
So the fourth pick.
The Jets, who people say won the draft.
They had a great draft.
They did.
They improved at almost every position because the Jets, I mean, they're like the Texans. That team was terrible.
Almost every quote-unquote expert gave them an A well, or somewhere in the A range, even the ones who don't know anything, like the guy that gave the Colts a C.
Yeah, with,
we can talk about that later.
With the Jets, Brown, I think both New York teams, or New York, you know, New Jersey, whatever, I think both the Jets and the Giants had pretty good draft picks.
They're wanting to be like Major League Baseball in New York, where the Yankees and the Mets are both good right now.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted Kayvon Thibodeau.
The Giants and the Jets are not both going to be good next year. Let's be honest. They both had good drafts. But
what's to say they won't? Because the NFL, there's always a team that stunk this year that'll be good next year. It just happens. Why couldn't it be the Jets or the Giants?
Yeah.
Both their quarterbacks, they're not good. I mean, Wilson has promise, but I don't think
Joe
Jones
Burrow,
is
he? Oh, never mind.
He's
Russell
really
Wilson?
Good.
No.
He's a Bronco.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, I mean,
he wishes he was Russell.
Yeah.
He's okay. I mean, I need to see more from him. Maybe. I mean, the Jets are a team that I could see maybe being decent. I don't know. I don't believe in their coaching
staff. You're not sold on Daniel Jones?
No, I think he's terrible. But, yeah. But they did draft a cornerback, Sauce Gardner, or Ahmad Gardner, whatever you recall him as.
Sauce.
Yeah. The Cincinnati cornerback was the best-ranked corner in college football history. So... That's a pretty good pick for the Jets.
That's a good meme.
Per sources, per our sources on Sports Spotlight, we got a picture. It says pick 37, Texans logo, upcoming, needs every position.
Yeah, every position for the Texans. Poor Texans fans. They traded away DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of chips.
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins
but they
suspended
were,
now.
Yeah.
But they were barbecue chips, so...
Chips are good.
I mean, those are good.
Were they the baked
ones? They were the zesty ones.
Okay, because the baked ones are not very good.
Yeah, I agree.
The baked ones.
The baked ones are terrible.
That's what the Texans have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe the Texans are that team next year that surprises everyone.
Could be.
Maybe,
hopefully not. Yeah.
Davis Mills is that guy.
I mean, the bar is low in the AFC South.
The bar is about as low as it gets.
Which is Jackson, why it was a good draft for the Colts.
I do want to ask you about the whole DeAndre Hopkins suspension. How do you feel about that? Obviously, he used PEDs, which are banned by the league. But do you think his six-game suspension is too much, too little, just the right?
If you do those things, you get banned.
I'm saying banned, six games, do you think?
Every player knows the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, or they should. And a lot of times, you know, the excuse is, well... It was a supplement. I don't know what DeAndre's.
He basically said he didn't know what was going on.
It just said violated PEDs.
So, you know, that's kind of like the general excuse where, I mean, relating it to golf, there was a golfer a few years ago that was using like a spray that was deer antler spray or something like that. And it was like, well, I didn't know, you know, what was it? Well, that's on you.
Deer antler spray?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was something like that's. Actually a thing, but it's like, well, I didn't know what was in it. Well, yeah, you know, when you're at that level, you better know what's in it,
right?
You know, because it can affect your livelihood. So I mean, six games seems about right to me.
Yeah, I just didn't know
if he does it again, it'd hope, you know, I don't hope that's the wrong term.
Six, but it
would probably go up.
Six games to me seems fine. Maybe gambling $1,000 whenever you're not playing is that whole season. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but
that was crazy. That one I get having a hard line on gambling because you don't want the outcome of games to be
fixed.
Affected by something a player does. But he wasn't playing, and he wasn't betting his team to lose either.
And he told the NFL he was doing.
He told that was so dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't know.
Especially when it's like every commercial during a NFL game now is for betting. Like everyone.
Uh-huh,
I wake up in the morning and it's like
DraftKings.
First thing I see is a betting ad and the NFL is just like cozy with it. So, you know, now you're going to suspend guys for that? What? You're going to suspend them for drinking Gatorade too? I mean, I don't know. You know, you're cozy with Gatorade.
Red Gatorade.
That's right.
Ten games.
That's all right. Oh, you're out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that controversy they had a few years back where some, you know, I think Beats was the official headphone of the NFL. And the guys had to, like, cover it up if they weren't, like, Beats or...
I think it's still like that with...
Yeah.
It's Bose.
Bose.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
And if guys... Yeah, they had
guys
to do
have
that.
Beats. Yeah. Then they have to close... Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wear
it's
them.
Like the... Because it's the same... radio that they use in the helmets.
Obviously, you're not going to get suspended for a season.
Right.
If you're wearing Beats headphones, but still.
Right. No Dr. Dre. You can't advertise.
No Dre.
Back to the NFL draft.
Yeah,
pick number five, I believe.
Pick five. The Giants picked Kavion. That's the name.
Kavion Thibodeau.
Yeah, that's not his name.
I like that pick.
Is he related to Tom Thibodeau?
No, his name is not Thibodeau, but it's not. I don't know how to say it, so I'm not.
Is it not Thibodeau? Kavion Thibodeau.
It's longer version of that. It's like Tibionics or something.
It ends in an X and starts with a TH.
Starts with a TH, ends with a DEAUX.
Yeah, that's Thibodeau.
That's a French word.
Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Like Bordeaux.
You pronounce that like DEAUX is pronounced dough in French.
Yeah.
Well, it's THIBODE.
Thibodeau.
Thibodeau.
Okay, I'm
We're telling you.
Yeah, it's Kayvon Thibodeau. He's a great player. I think it's one of the best. Or not one of the best, but it's one of my favorite picks on the draft. I think that he'll fit the Giants' needs well, and he's a big dude.
Well, the Giants needed a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And they got that with him. I think he's going to be a guy who I would say would probably be in the case for running and rookie of the year conversation if he has a good year.
Yeah.
But on the Giants' D-line, they really don't have anyone else, and I think we saw that last year. Let's just go to the Colts real quick. DeForest Buckner did not play well when he got double-teamed. And most players don't. Only guy who you have to triple team is Aaron Donald. And that's basically it. And Buckner still played well. I'm not saying he didn't. But you have to have someone else than just one guy rushing the passer. And the Giants are going to have to address that somewhere else. And it probably won't be this year. But maybe in the future. But moving along to the number six pick in the NFL draft. This is a name that Akeem Aguanu, yeah. So the NC State O-tackle going to help, most likely help protect whoever is going to be quarterbacking for the Panthers.
That's the other thing. They need some help at quarterback.
Because they had some kind of questions last
Johnny
year.
Johnny Easter at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
That will not help them.
Frank Reich can go back.
Will it be Sam Darnold? Will it be Cam Newton, even though he's not there anymore? I doubt it's him.
Will it be Owen Pulley?
Could be.
Who throws touchdowns but does not pitch strikeouts.
Right. Two left-handed quarterbacks in the league, going from one to two.
There you go.
Tua Tagovailoa. I always mispronounce his name.
Just call him Tua.
Tua turned the ball over.
Oh.
he actually didn't turn over the ball too much this year, past year.
He's
got
Tyreek Hill to throw to now.
Yeah. The Dolphins going to be one of those teams that can jump
needs,
from.
Who needs to throw it deep when you got Tyreek Hill?
Right. He can run.
Yeah.
But now the seventh pick, the Giants picked once again. They picked Evan Neal, the offensive tackle.
That's protecting. A tough name right there.
Did you see the video of him box jumping? He had like two box jump like platforms that were probably 3.5 feet in the air. And he jumped and he had like a leg split where like he landed on one of them in the front with his front foot and like lunged back and landed on the other one with his back foot. Literally just straight off a vertical.
Wow.
Yeah.
These guys are different.
Yeah.
When it comes to built athleticism.
But the Giants, that was a voice crack.
The Giants,
a team that obviously had lots of holes. I think we all, it's obvious.
Right.
They had a running back in Saquon Barkley. It was kind of.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquad. Have you seen his.
Oh, they're massive.
Legs?
You said Saquon Barkley. I said Quan Barkley.
Barkley.
Charles Barkley?
Saquon Barkley. I said Quan Barkley. I just said what he told me to say.
Oh, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Saquon Barkley.
Quan Barkley. I thought you were making fun of Jackson for Kayvon Thibodeau again.
No.
Because Jackson's like, it's Thibodeau.
Follow along, Owen.
Sorry.
Yeah, Owen. Get a grip.
But you were saying
Quan Barkley. Quan Barkley.
Saquon, but, you know.
He has not been the best ever since really coming into the league. He had a really good rookie year, had an injury, hasn't been the same.
He's been hurt. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people are, he's an injury prone.
Same with Christian McCaffrey. Those two players have been, like, the two best ceiling, and they've just been injured.
Well, you got to protect
everybody's favorite fantasy player.
No, Christian McCaffrey. He went number one overall.
I'm not drafting him again.
Didn't you take him number one overall?
I think I did. I still won the league first place. So. Yeah. But
the Easter Bunnies did not have a good year.
Loser had to enlist.
Oh, I didn't have to enlist, thankfully.
I think it was Heidi.
Yeah, Heidi enlisted in the military. So, yeah. Goodbye. Yeah. But, the Giants are doing what they need, the defensive line, offensive line, that will help them. But no quarterbacks yet selected, and it's going to be a minute till we get to one. The eighth pick, Drake London, a receiver going to the Falcons, a team most likely going to be needing a quarterback next season.
But they drafted one.
Later in the draft, but I would assume, I don't know if Ridder's going to do anything.
We'll see.
They have Matt Ryan. Oh, wait, no, they don't. I know where Matt Ryan is.
Matt Ryan, the greatest quarterback since Peyton Manning.
The greatest Colt of all time.
Jim Irsay.
Did you see Irsay's?
Jim, I don't know if you noticed, but you had a guy in between.
Quite lucky. And now that he was quite lucky.
He wasn't applying skill set. Yeah. I think he was applying that mentality.
Right, right.
And Andrew obviously didn't have that.
Did you see?
I don't know about
that. Not that Peyton Manning mentality.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Nobody has the Manning mentality except for Peyton.
Right.
Well, of course.
But and Eli, maybe.
No.
The mentality?
Peyton is a built different type person. He is a different breed when it comes to that.
Did you see Irsay's thing that he said on Pat McAfee show about
what I was just talking about.
No, it's different than that.
Okay.
If McAfee makes like a 35-yard field goal and then like throws a 35-yard touchdown pass to Wayne, he'll donate like $1 million to
kicking the stigma.
Well, it's like $1 million to kicking the stigma. It's $1 million to IU cancer research, or has to do with IU cancer. And then another one to a charity of somebody's choice or McAfee's choice. So, $3 million in total.
Well, McAfee better kick that field goal.
And throw the touchdown pass.
McAfee is a talented guy.
I mean, we've seen McAfee throw the ball and fake punts and stuff, so hopefully he...
We'd also see him win at WrestleMania.
And as long as he walks off on the Conor McGregor walk after he does it.
McAfee is a man of... That's a funny...
many talents.
Going to that little interview with Irsay, he's like... every year, I always think about either you or Andrew coming back. And then he said it was funny because McAfee makes way more money than Andrew does.
Yeah.
And he was like, Andrew should be the guy getting $50 million a year, and now you're the guy doing that, doing your own thing.
Right.
So practically applying.
Hey,
he would have paid Andrew.
And hats off to Pat McAfee, who is doing it his own way.
Oh, and he is making money. And
making money hand
and
over fist.
And it's a really good, funny way to do it.
Right.
Because like, he literally is going on side quests at this point.
Oh,
he did WrestleMania because why not?
But you think about a guy, and this is not NFL draft related, but you think about a guy who potentially sabotaged his own career in his first year in the league by showing up, you know, in a pretty expendable position.
Yeah.
Kicker, punter, NFL.
Special teams unit.
Right. But he goes swimming in the canal, makes, you know, wasn't really, it got overblown, I think. He talks about that a lot. But you think about how he turned that into, he owned it, which I always think is impressive. When a guy owns it, he owned what he did, and then he's turned it into this career now, which is his second career as a sports commentator / host / WWE wrestler / potential Thursday Night Football analyst /
comedian.
College football analyst / comedian. I mean,
he does it all.
He's it's really impressive, and it's a great story. And I think it's one of those things, like, you know, you read about these stories about young people who make mistakes and, you know, get caught up in, you know,
the drama.
Swimming in the canal or whatever.
Didn't he swim in the Broad Ripple River or something too?
Yeah, he was
pond.
He had a few and was picked up in the Broad Ripple Canal.
It made
news, and, you know, was kind of an embarrassment for the Colts. And, you know,
but he owned it again.
And he did. And credit the Colts for sticking with him, because they could have said, you know, we're not going to have that. And then Pat McAfee would have been a star somewhere else. And who knows what would have happened. But
right.
That was still an impressive thing that he's done with his life. And you know, he's just a really cool guy. The For the Brand stuff that he was doing, and
he still does.
I mean, just that's just so smart.
And he's
talking about a smart guy
right here in Indy.
Yeah,
he hasn't left, so give him credit.
And he's done it his way, mm-hmm. and he's done it. You know, he's like, I'm staying in Indiana. I'm not moving to Boston with Barstool. I'm staying here in Indiana. He's done a tremendous job. Really a good case study in what you can do if you're, you know, you use the opportunities you get, and then you turn that moment that he had that could have been a total negative in his life into a positive.
And he's just had so many positives. It's crazy.
Yeah, now that's his brand.
Basically.
You know? Hats off to Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Punters. How about them punters, huh?
Yeah.
But going back to the NFL draft, we went on a side quest ourselves.
Yeah. We're never going to get through this first round.
I'm not going to go through all the first round because it would take forever. But kind of the noticeables.
You could just list them. Not comment on them.
9, Charles Cross, the offensive tackle to Seattle. Mm-hmm. 10, the receiver to the Jets, Kerrick Wilson. The Saints got a receiver, Chris Olave.
Olave?
Olave, yeah.
Right, that's the name. Olave?
Yeah, Olave, I think. Receiver, Jameson Williams, going the Alabama receiver, going to Detroit. And Jordan Davis, the D-tackle, going to the Eagles. Kyle Hamilton, the Notre Dame safety, to the Ravens. The Texans, another pick, which they traded up to get an alpha offensive guard, K.N. Green, their second offensive tackle in the draft.
Safeties in Baltimore go well together.
Yeah.
Another receiver for the Commanders, Jahan Dotson.
Dotson going from the Penn State guy, going to help out Carson Wentz. Zion Johnson, the offensive guard, going to help protect, what's his name? Burrow, not Burrow.
What team?
The Chargers.
Justin Herbert.
Herbert. Then you have a receiver going to, this is a big one, the Titans, and Treyon Burks. But they traded away Pro Bowler A.J. Brown to get this pick. A.J. Brown now going to the Eagles.
And, you know, they were talking about this yesterday on the ride with JMV. That is like a big deal in the AFC South.
That is massive.
Right.
After I saw
this trade.
That's
like the biggest draft win for the Colts was a move that somebody else did.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, it just makes me think, are the Titans going into a rebuild? Because A.J. Brown is young. It just, like, this is the Colts division to lose. We'll talk about it in a minute, but that is something interesting. A.J. Brown now going to the Eagles. Obviously, Burks going to Tennessee. The 19th pick will be Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle, going to the Saints. Obviously, the first quarterback off the board, Kenny Pickett, going to the Steelers. Trent McDuffel, the cornerback, going to the Chiefs
McDuffie.
Quay Walker, the linebacker, going to the Packers. And the Packers traded up to get this pick. No receiver for the Packers in the first round.
Aaron Rodgers is going to start. He's going to start throwing it to himself downfield.
Aaron Rodgers has now retired from the NFL. I'm joking. But
breaking news.
Akhlaar Elam, the Florida cornerback, going to the Bills. Tyler Smith, the offensive tackle, going to the Cowboys. Tyler Landerbaum, the center, going to the Ravens. The Jets, another pick, Jermaine Johnson, the second, the DN.
Jermaine.
My
JJ?
Names off.
Like Pacers?
Yeah.
Jeremiah Johnson?
His twin brother.
Jermaine Johnson,
the DN, going to the Jets. And then Devin Lloyd going to the Jaguars, the linebacker. And then another defensive player going to Green Bay. Not a receiver, a defensive player.
I know that Green Bay is owned by the city of Green Bay.
The people.
Were these just like the people voting for these picks?
I don't know.
Get another defensive guy.
I don't need that.
Defense, I guess.
They don't care about cheese up there. Yeah. They don't care about defense.
They've picked a block of cheese in the 30th pick.
What kind? That depends.
Yeah.
Swiss.
The 28th pick.
Swiss, good cheese.
Yeah, not good, not particularly good on the offensive defensive line, Swiss cheese, but
it's very holy.
Yeah.
Very holy.
Good at Notre Dame, though.
Yeah.
Holy. Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Sorry. Go ahead.
But Devontae Watt was the name.
Watt?
Another Watt in the league?
Now, this next pick is really weird.
And then, okay, so this one has a backstory.
Right.
I want to talk about this for a minute. So the New England Patriots traded back in the draft. They originally, I think, were at 20-something. They were up a little bit. traded back, and they drafted an offensive guard, Cole Strange, out of Chattanooga.
It's really weird.
And
it's very strange.
Cole, yeah.
Chattanooga.
You just gave away the joke.
Not for...
My bad.
Chattanooga. Beautiful city.
Beautiful city, but not really known for football.
Right.
College football, at least. And a guy who was projected to go in the third to fourth round, Bill Belichick drafts him in the first round. I don't know.
You know, he's won a lot of games, so.
So you can't fail him, but.
He wanted him bad.
I guess he did.
Traded back to get him. Could have traded back further, probably.
Probably into the third round if you really wanted to, like the Rams. They were looking at this guy, and they were doing a press conference during this pick. They saw the pick, and they started laughing.
Right.
Because they're like, no way this guy went in the first round. And I'm like, wow, that is something.
But there must be something that Bill Belichick sees that
this is going to be the next Quentin Nelson that people don't know. We'll see. The 30th pick going from the Chiefs, a Purdue player off the board.
Yeah, George Karlaftis.
The D end, so Chiefs get a defensive end.
Pretty cool.
Dexton Hill, the safety from Michigan, going to the Bengals. And then this was originally the Rams pick, obviously, the Vikings pick now, Lewis Klein.
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, but a safety from Georgia. So that basically rounds out the first round of the NFL draft, but now moving to the Indianapolis Colts, who did not have a first-round pick but had a second-round pick. The Colts originally had the 42nd pick in the NFL draft. They traded back. They get they move back in the draft about nine picks. Actually,
picked up
11.
A little later pick, too.
They picked up a third-rounder as well, so that helps them pretty big. So they picked up a receiver, Alec Pierce, the Cincinnati guy.
Big guy, 6'3".
Yeah, so Alec Pierce is a Indianapolis Colt.
Yeah, and I like the pick. I think he was a guy that some people thought was maybe a little bit undervalued in the draft. He's got some quickness, not necessarily maybe speed, so to speak, but he's got quickness. There was a lot of talk about his performance in the combine. He had a really good NFL combine. So I think he kind of fits what Frank Reich wants to do offensively. He's basically maybe a little bit like the guy on the other side.
I was about to say that. You know who his draft comp is? Michael Pittman
Jr.
So two Michael Pittman Jr.'s.
I mean, if you can get two Michael Pittman Jr.'s on your offense, I think that's
pretty good
a plus.
Offense. Yeah. So that fits a need. That fills a need. Obviously, the Colts, we knew they had to go receiver. So let's move back to the third round. And they take Jelani Woods, the tight end out of Virginia. And that's another need for the Colts. Obviously, receiver, tight end, kind of the two biggest needs besides offensive tackle. We'll get to that in a second.
Another big dude.
Oh, yeah. He is 6'6".
Again, kind of fits what Frank Reich and the Colts are kind of known for.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, and you know, Frank Reich tends to want those tight ends who can kind of fly down the field a little bit as receivers, and you know, kind of the Mo Alley Cox kind of wide receiver, which he is. He's very athletic and fits that need. Maybe a little bit different than Jack Doyle was. Jack Doyle more like the traditional tight end,
the blocking tight end,
right? But I think what you're going to see out of Woods is that he's probably going to be a pretty good combo tight end for the Colts. And again, as you said, checks a box.
Checks a box. And then we're going to check another one here. The Colts, with the 77th pick in the draft, they traded up to get this guy. They pick Bernard
Ryman,
offensive tackle from Central Michigan.
Originally from Austria.
Uh-huh. He is another really big guy, obviously an offensive tackle. So he is a left tackle.
Another guy that some people thought
was mocked in the first round.
Right, right.
He was mocked in around the 20 to 30 range, and the Colts get him in the third round.
Right.
I think this was the best pick in the draft, besides the receiver.
Well, and only the second professional athlete I've ever heard with the name Bernard spelled that way. It's Bernard Longer, the other one in golf. But, you talk about those first three picks. That's a slam dunk.
Yeah, and this guy, I mean, they said that he's going to compete for the left tackle spot day one.
Right.
And if, let's say, he turns into something just good, this Colts offensive line will be complete. Right. You're only, I mean, you obviously have a hole at right guard.
Right.
That's kind of, you can hide that.
Yeah.
I mean, you practically have three all pro type-ish players already on the line.
That would be Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson.
And Braden Smith.
Braden Smith.
All guys who obviously, all three of them aren't going to get it here.
Right.
But if you put them on a team that needs an offensive line, like needs a right tackle, put Braden Smith, let's say, on the Chiefs.
Right.
He'd probably get all pro honors.
Yeah.
But he gets overshadowed by Quentin Nelson.
Right.
And Ryan Kelly. So, this guy, I mean, we'll see. I really hope he turns into something because left guard is probably a need that we've needed really since Costanzo retired.
Yeah.
And in all reality, we needed a left tackle the year before Costanzo retired.
Right.
But I like the pick. I really do. And then we move down to pick 32 of the third round. And the Colts picked safety Nick Cross from Maryland. And Nick Cross is a guy who, again, was mocked higher than what he was selected. There's a bunch of people saying that this is the steal of the draft. So we will see.
Well, and I think, once again, gives you a little more depth back there.
And that safety is a position that I think the Colts they had to address. I mean, last year we saw safety depth really got, I mean, they were down to bare bones whenever Julian Blackman went out with injury. And obviously Willis was in and out of the lineup. I mean, there was times where our safeties were like nobodies.
Right.
Last season. And now, obviously, you bring in a guy like McLeod from free agency from Philly. But, yeah, I think this really checks a box for the Colts that they needed to check. You get more safety depth, and this continues to add on to it. And this is a guy who they say he could really turn into something. And we'll just see. I mean, in all reality, you probably need five good safeties to be a competent NFL defense. And if this guy can even play just a few snaps a game, maybe a primary special teamer for his first year, that'd be big. Now moving down to round five, and it was defensive tackle Eric Johnson from Missouri State. I don't really know too much about him, but he's a D-tackle. It helps out the D-tackle depth. The Colts are kind of slim on D-tackle. You have Glover Stewart and Buckner, and you're kind of no one else currently on the roster, so he'll just be a guy who's going to be competing for that third-team rep. So, yeah.
We talked briefly about him, even though it's a Minnesota Vikings pick. Asisi Otomewo going to the Vikings in the fifth round as well. And
the big O.
Just a great reaction. Saw the video of his reaction. He's a guy that played very well at Minnesota, so he doesn't have to go very far.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from the University of Minnesota to the Minnesota Vikings. So, Asisi, congratulations. Certainly a player that made a mark here at Ben Davis and at Minnesota now has a chance to do so in the NFL.
And he's going to be battling. I mean, Minnesota has a really good linebacker room. The Vikings do, so.
Well, he's an edge rusher.
Defensive end. A linebacker, Vikings have that package that their linebackers rush.
Right.
So that's where he would be. He would be a left outside linebacker, right outside linebacker guy. But that room in Minnesota, they have some good players. So if he can just get some snaps in the preseason, maybe he'll make the team and hopefully do something in the NFL, the big O. But now going to the round six for the Indianapolis Colts, they take another tight end, Andrew.
Where are we?
Round six for the Colts, pick 13 in the round, 192.
There we go. Ogletree.
Andrew Ogletree.
Yeah, out of Youngstown State.
The 6'5 tied another just straight athlete. He can out-jump you. And, the Colts drafted a bunch of athletes in this draft, and I think it's obvious. But now, and then we move to another round pick in the round six. Curtis Brooks. That's a hard name to say. D-tackle, 6'2", another depthful guy.
Another guy from Cincinnati.
Actually,
Cincinnati. Youngstown State is Ohio as well. So
Ohio.
Lots of Ohio. And, of course, Alec Pierce from Ohio.
And then finally, round seven, the Colts picked Rodney Thomas, the defensive back from Yale.
Smart guy.
Yeah. But, the Colts, eight players total selected. I think they checked off every box they needed from a draft perspective. I think there's still a ghost around town that they need to resign. And then after that, I'd be pretty happy with their offseason.
Yeah, and from where you started to where they are now, I owe Chris Ballard an apology. I'll just say it straight up. guy knew what he was doing. And, you know, he kind of waited around, and the free agent market kind of fell into his lap. And then, again, just what on paper seems to be a great draft, at least, you know, maybe I'm biased, but there are a lot of people in the NFL that gave him A's and A minuses for the draft, even some B's. But, you know, there was one guy that gave the Colts a C. I don't quite understand that. And then the guy from Barstool gave him a D. I don't understand how you can objectively look at the draft and go there. You know, if you wanted to go B, I mean, Colts didn't have a first-round draft. That's always first-round pick. It's always going to hurt your draft grade. But Chris Ballard did a really nice job, I think, and probably not that he was in any danger, but certainly solidified his control over the team. I think certainly we saw him kind of get dealt some cards, I think, by the owner with Carson Wentz, and he found Matt Ryan and draft picks. You know, got the money off the salary cap for Carson Wentz. Said, "Hey, Commanders, you want this guy? Here, take his salary too." You know, and then the trade with the Raiders gives them some defensive help. Just a really good offseason, but they got to get more help. And I agree. I heard JMV talking about this yesterday. They've got to get more help on that wide receivers course. I mean,
you have to get a veteran.
Yeah.
And
T.Y. Hilton's.
T.Y. Hilton, another guy I've heard has been named, linked here, Julio Jones. Still, I mean, when healthy, he was productive. I don't really know about it. I think T.Y. is a better fit here because he knows the town.
Yeah, and he's T.Y. Hilton. The team.
And he is, I mean, he's going to be a Colts ring of honor guy once he's done.
Yep, no question.
Easily.
And he's what, 30-some yards away from 10,000?
He is 300.
337. So, I knew there was a 3 in there somewhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is if he plays all 17, which he probably won't, it's T.Y. Hilton. He hasn't done that in a long, long time. But if he at least plays 12 games this season, I think he'd get over 3.
He doesn't have to either now. I mean, he doesn't have to play every down anymore when you've got...
I don't want him to. All I want T.Y. Hilton to do to play 50% of the snaps. Come in and just be a productive player. Because my dream offseason, obviously, this has been probably up there, but I wanted us to go get it like a big, big, big-time receiver. It didn't happen because we didn't have the assets to do it.
Didn't have the assets, and you didn't want to give away the assets that you had to.
Yeah, so I'm fine, but I just wish that... I want T.Y. Hilton to be a fourth option. Be a guy who doesn't have to play every down. And maybe Campbell comes in and can be that third option, and T.Y. can be the fourth. I really hope he does, because Campbell has so much potential, but he's always hurt. That's besides the point. But
catches a touchdown pass, breaks his foot.
Yeah, he was all celebrating, and then I just see him walking in the locker room. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
What happened?
I was there, and I'm like, what's Campbell doing? He just caught a touchdown and danced. Oh, done for the year. I'm like, oh, my. But
bad luck for the guy, too.
Yeah, and he's a standout player. So I just really hope he can finally see the field and be healthy.
But picking up Pierce takes a little pressure off him.
Yeah, Pierce hopefully can come into that second role.
And I wouldn't expect that Pierce is going to come in and be Michael Pittman next year.
No, but, I wouldn't either.
But as he develops, who knows?
And who knows? Who knows? T.Y. Hilton could be something like he was with Phillip Rivers. T.Y. Right. Hilton still had a good year with the Colts with Phillip Rivers under helm. He didn't play too much last year. He was hurt. If he can come in fully healthy, who knows? He was banged up all last season.
Yeah.
So the whole Colts team was so banged up last year. I mean, obviously, Carson Wentz sprains both his ankles on one play. Never seen it before. But everything. The offensive line was hurt. Quentin Nelson missed games.
Statistically, Carson Wentz had a good year last year.
Statistically, but, I mean, if you watch the games.
But, you know, the problems came when games were on the line.
And he only stepped up once.
And you just hope that getting Matty Ice in here will take care of that issue.
If Carson Wentz takes a check down every once in a while, the Colts probably would have been one of what I think if the Colts made it in. Let's say Matt Ryan is the quarterback last year with the team we had, and Taylor doing the thing he was doing. I think the Colts won a playoff game.
Right.
And in all reality, I think the Colts could have won a playoff game with Carson Wentz under helm. I think if they just don't blow everything up at the end of the year.
Well, at one point,
I thought they
people were talking the Colts go to the Super Bowl.
But I think
that didn't happen.
I think that conversation is going to reoccur itself this year.
Yeah.
This team is ready. I think it's obvious. The media has finally given us a little bit of good job. Media's
really got on the Colts bandwagon last year, and then the Colts went.
Oh, I know. The media was loving it. I mean, you heard the Colts on, like, they were talking about the Colts on First Take.
Oh, sneaky Colts. They got a great running game. They got this Jonathan Taylor guy, and they might be, oh, they're pretty good. Oh, they got that great offensive line. Oh, Carson Wentz is wonderful. They're having a great year. And then all of a sudden.
And then, yeah, no playoffs.
That's what happened.
But, yeah, hopefully they rewrite that book.
Right.
And they write it better
this year. And on paper, easier schedule this year.
Easier, way easier schedule. Way easier schedule
so,
on paper.
On paper, did the AFC South get better? No.
No, they got worse.
I think it got worse. So on paper, the Colts, I think, should be the favorite in the AFC South. Now, that's on paper.
I think the Colts, I mean, you just put up the players versus players. The Titans got worse. I still think the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans are still rebuilding. The Colts, I don't think they're the, I think they're the unanimous favorites. If the Colts do not win the division this year, changes will be made. And I think that's...
I don't know about that.
I don't think Valor's going to get fired, but I think the hot seat could
depends
be
on
Reich.
It depends on so much. I mean
it depends on the season. Let's say
Matt Ryan
breaks his leg.
Exactly.
Game one.
You never
we'll
know.
See. But yeah. Let's say everyone is healthy and this they don't win the division. Like, they just underperform. I don't think it is either, but let's say they just underperform. Jobs will be – it's going to happen.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to. I think the Colts are going to make the playoffs.
Jim Irsay is not Bob Irsay.
Well, yeah.
If the bottom falls out and they win four games, yeah, I think maybe changes happen. They go 9-8, 10-7 again and, like, sneak into the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs,
losing the first round, no. I think if they totally collapse the last four games of the year again, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Jim Irsay, though, typically doesn't have that trigger finger. He was willing to kind of keep around some he kept Chuck. How long did he keep Chuck Pagano around after Chuck Pagano was clearly past his expiration date here?
I mean, there was so much going on, though.
But I mean,
with Luck,
he couldn't really. You could make the argument that Chuck Pagano should have been fired a couple of years before he was fired, when they had the meeting in the office with he and Gregson.
They'll say that.
And then they continued for the 1 year, and then Gregson gets fired, and they bring in Ballard, and they kind of leave Chuck to be the fall guy. I mean, that kind of happened. And then the whole thing with McDaniels and blah, 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 blah. But Chuck probably should have been gone maybe a couple of years before he was. I think Ryan Grigson probably should have been gone a couple of years before he was, too.
He should never even
but,
been here.
But I think that just shows you that Irsay's not going to make a hair trigger decision, which is what was so surprising when he did with Carson Wentz.
Oh, he wanted that guy gone. I mean,
Then he went out and said it.
Oh, like even on the McAfee show yesterday. He didn't say I just hated Carson Wentz. Right. But he basically said, I wanted that guy out of the building as fast as possible. Yeah. I don't know what Carson Wentz did to Jim Irsay, but he does not like Carson Wentz.
There was something there. And, Jim Irsay's got a big finger on the pulse of the Colts locker room. He's an owner's, player's owner.
Oh, yeah.
They like to come here and play for him. Which kind of is like, well, the Colts are a small market. Nobody wants to go play in Indianapolis. That doesn't exist really in the NFL.
Well, Stephon Gilmore's in town. So,
right.
And he's a big nine player.
So,
big time.
I think, I think we heard yesterday Irsay also talking about his excitement having Matt Ryan back. You can look at Jim Irsay's record as owner. He likes to have a quarterback in that style of what Matt Ryan brings to the table. So we'll see how it works out for the Colts. I think it's an incredibly good time to be a Colts fan. I feel pretty positive, and I'm not sure I would have felt that way a few weeks ago. And I credit Chris Ballard. He's been great.
He gets all the credit, and he deserves it. He has done everything. You're listening to the Sports Spotlight.
Jim Irsay for writing the checks, too.
WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But I give Chris Ballard credit as well and his whole entire staff, because obviously Jim Irsay writes the checks, but their salary cap has always been, they run that
and they sell money.
Well. They do. And I don't think they're going to spend it, because you know the Colts.
Yeah.
They don't sign free agents, but they did one. They signed Gilmore, and that was, I would think, one of the biggest in franchise history, at least in recent memory. So let's move topics now to the NBA playoffs. And obviously, the Pacers are not in the NBA playoffs. Maybe next year. Who knows? That will be something that other people will have to talk about, sadly. But, the NBA playoffs is going on. We were still talking around one whenever we last had a show. But now we're in round two.
Round two of the NBA playoffs.
So going back to round one, as we recap it, the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves in six. The Mavericks beat the Jazz in six. The Suns beat the Pelicans in six. And the 76ers blew out the Raptors in six. And Joel Embiid got hurt in this game, went up 30, and will not play in the first two games of round two, because that makes sense. Doc Rivers, play your star center when you're up by 30 in the final 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
When are these guys going to learn?
Right.
But, so
it's not like he hadn't coached before either.
I don't know. And he's starting DeAndre Jordan for some reason, and that's just a whole big thing. DeAndre Jordan is statistically the worst center ever to start in the NBA playoffs statistically this season. He is way far past his prime. I think he still thinks that's Lob City DeAndre Jordan, and that is...
No.
No, not anymore. Yeah. But now moving to game one of the round two, the Bucks and the Celtics. And the Bucks got a big win. Chris Middleton going to miss the whole series. And you know, he's kind of like that Robin to Giannis.
Right.
Giannis is Batman.
Right.
And the Bucks, they say, we're the defending champs, and we're going to beat up on the Celtics, who just swept the Nets. They won 101-89. Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo is that guy.
And this could be, too, that situation where, you know, the Bucks are just coming off the playoff series. The Celtics kind of sat for a few days. So sometimes when you have that situation where you just blow through somebody, and then you've got another team coming in. Right. There's such a thing. And, you know, we see it every year in the NFL when teams kind of rest their starters, and then that first round of the playoffs. Oh, the
Colts in 2009. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, I don't know if I read much. It puts a lot of pressure on the Celtics, though.
Oh, 100%. The Celtics, you have to win game two. If you go back to Boston, you would go to Milwaukee.
Right.
Down 2-0, you're done.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, even if they win,
they're not losing at that beautiful arena in Milwaukee.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new, just coming off a championship, having the best player in the league. I said it, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the guy in the NBA right now. I know LeBron James still exists, but LeBron James isn't in the playoffs.
And credit Giannis, because he's committed to Milwaukee. Man, that's
small,
pretty cool.
Small city.
Yeah.
I just hope the Pacers can draft their Giannis one day. Maybe.
Hopefully. Maybe Halliburton is their Giannis.
Maybe he's a young star.
Yeah.
He's a rising star.
Seems to like small town life, quote unquote. As small town as Indy is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a small town when you go downtown. But
true. It's one of the smaller markets in the NBA.
Markets, though, yes. Then you have
Portland and New Orleans. Typically, are the New Orleans is the smallest. Memphis. Another one.
We're about to talk about
Salt Lake City.
Jazz, and there's a bunch going on there.
Right.
The Jazz, reportedly, Rudy Gobert says, either trade me or Donovan Mitchell. I hope they don't trade Donovan Mitchell. He is a really good player. Rudy Gobert is a center who is probably in the wrong era, but he still gets a bunch of blocks and rebounds. So, defensive player of the year.
So, what other series do we have?
We have the Warriors and the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are the team that is getting all the media attention.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
Obviously, like you said, a small market. They've done a great job drafting John Morant. His dad, T. Morant, is getting like LaVar Ball type media coverage right now.
Right.
Which is nuts. It's
amazing what ESPN will make into a story.
You could wear a pickle hat to a game and be on the cover of ESPN for a month. And just because your name is Mr. Pickle, I mean, that's
right.
You could go next to an Easter Bunny and say John Easter sits next to Easter Bunny, and that would be a big thing on ESPN.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies were up big in this game, game one versus the Warriors, and Draymond Green went out with a technical two foul, which causes him to leave the game, And you know how Draymond Green is kind of has a reputation for
correct.
That.
Correct, yeah.
But the Warriors came back and won this game. Klay Thompson hit a big three late. The Warriors win in Memphis. And the Grizzlies were all dancing all game. Warriors humbled them. And a lot of guys
with championship experience still on that Warriors team.
In all reality, I think the Grizzlies need to be humbled. I think the Grizzlies need to lose this. I know, obviously, you want to win this year. But this isn't your year, Memphis. This isn't supposed to be. They're not supposed to be this good yet. And they are. They need to have the Warriors. They did the same thing back in, let's go back to the Mark Jackson, his final year. They were kind of like this Grizzlies team, surprising. Yeah. They needed humbled. They got beat, and we know what they did after that.
Yeah.
went on a massive run. The Grizzlies, I think they need to be humbled as well because they're dancing too much. They're having too much fun. And Warriors are up 1-0. I mean, if they lose, if they go down 2-0 and you go back to Golden State or San Fran. It's over.
Yeah.
And Stephen Curry, he still really hasn't got back to his full thing. And Jordan Poole still being that guy coming off the bench now for the Warriors once again. But Curry had 24. Klay Thompson really could not hit the back of the barn, but when it mattered, he knocked it down. So the Warriors are now 1-0 versus the Grizz. So we're going to have to see how they do. And then tomorrow there was two games as well. The 76ers taking on the Heat. Miami, obviously the one seed in the Eastern Conference Finals. The 76ers making the big trade for James Harden. And James Harden, like we mentioned, we think he fell off a cliff. And 16 points.
Yeah.
35 minutes. I think the end of James Harden is this. I mean, he's still going to be around. But I think that his prime is over. And
He's got to prove that it's not.
Yeah, and Joel Embiid obviously not going to play in the first two games because he played the for some reason, up by 30 versus Toronto. Miami got the best of Philly, and this was supposed to be Philly's year. You go trade away Ben Simmons, you got the team. Miami could sweep them.
Yeah.
Miami's a team that is scary. It really is. They have, obviously, Jimmy Butler, and he is not the guy who's going to give you 30 points, but he's just such a leader, defensive player, Bam Adebayo, another great center for them. Tyler Herro coming off their bench. He had 25. Victor Oladipo's finally getting in that rotation again. He had a big game round one. He only had 5 in this one. But he had a couple steals. It's Miami team. They have, obviously, I would say, a top three coach in Eric Spoelstra.
That's what I was going to say. Spoelstra's won a lot of different ways.
He's up there. And and obviously, Doc Rivers getting a lot of media hate recently for playing DeAndre Jordan over. I mean, they have a bunch of, like, Paul Reed, a guy who statistically, one starts, has put up good numbers, and they play the 33-year-old Jordan who cannot jump 2 feet. But I don't know. Game 2 is going to be in Miami, I think, tomorrow. That's going to be an interesting one to watch out for. And then the final game, Mavericks versus the Suns. Obviously, Devin Booker coming back early and defeating the Pelicans in Game 6 of that series. And the Suns, they get the best of Luka once again. The Luka Doncic Mavericks, basically, he needs some help over there in Dallas. 45 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists for Luka, and they lose 121-114. And the Suns are just on top again. Chris Paul, 19 points, no turnovers, did his thing. I mean, he did the Chris Paul classic game. Devin Booker, 23, 25 for Ayton. And the Suns, I mean, they started out a little rough against the Pelicans, but I think the Suns are back to rolling.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is a 60-win team.
Kind of looks like the Suns and the Heat.
Kinda. The Suns and the Bucks.
Yeah.
So we could see that rematch again. Yeah.
Just think it'd be fun to beat the Suns in the Heat because, you know, Suns, Heat.
That would be fun. Yeah. And their colors are neat. They both have neat colors. And it would be one seed versus one seed. And we haven't seen that in
a
while.
A long time. Yeah.
So that would be interesting. But Luka and the Mavericks, this team, obviously, they got Brunson, who's been playing well. Dibwitty coming off the bench. But they don't have a center.
Well, we're still in round two, so obviously, Western Conference Finals would still have to happen, but man, those two teams look really good right now.
They look good, and obviously, you got the Warriors who are starting to roll, and the Grizzlies are still a good team. And over there in the East, you kind of got, I mean, it looks like it's going to be Heat and Bucks.
Yeah.
And Boston, I mean, that's a team that, if they can win game two, I mean, they'll right back in it. That team can play defense, as it's proven they were the best defensive team in the league, statistically. But, Tonight we have two games as well. 7 o'clock, Bucks versus Celtics. Obviously, like we mentioned, the Bucks lead 1-0 in that series. 7 o'clock, so it's going to be a good one. Winner of this game could possibly be the winner of the series. Not the winner of the series, but if the Bucks win this game, the series could be over. So that's going to be a big one. And then the Warriors versus the Grizzlies and Memphis once again. This is a must-win for the Grizzlies, and Ja Morant has to show up, because if he doesn't, it could be scary. But now we're going to move along. Well, tomorrow also the 76ers Heat, Mavericks Suns. I mean, it's the same thing that we just mentioned. That will be tomorrow, 7:30 and 10. And then Thursday, we'll talk about that Thursday. But now moving along to our final topic of the day in the IndyCar. IndyCar had a race in Alabama.
Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
And your winner, Pato Award.
Patricio Award from Arrow McLaren SP.
And then the second place, Alex Palou. Then Rinus VK getting third. And then Will Power not qualifying good as at all.
I mean, he just had an awful qualifying.
But he still gets close to that podium in fourth place. And then Scott Dixon, Mr. Consistent, fifth place.
You could just, I think you could, you know, already just fill out the form. Just put Scott Dixon in like
fifth, sixth. McLaughlin got sixth. Grosjean, I think I said that right.
Didn't make any friends this week.
No, but he finished seventh.
Yeah.
Graham Rahal finished eighth. Rossi was nine.
Not happy with Grosjean.
Not at all. And then Colton Herta finished 10th. Pagano, 11th. Erickson, 12th. Sato got 13th. Joseph Newgarden kind of had a bad race.
Yeah, struggled.
Yeah.
He was on the wrong strategy. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that could hurt you.
And then 15th, Lundgaard. And then Rosenquist, 16th. 17th, DeFrancisco. 18th, Jack Harvey. 19th, Connor Daly. This website also says Connor Daly got 20th, too. So
wow.
Shout out Connor Daly.
Yeah.
Two finishes.
He cloned himself.
So
Jimmy Johnson was back there somewhere.
Jimmy Johnson finished 25th. Helio finished 22nd. And then Calderon.
Tatiana Calderon.
27th.
Yeah.
So
Marcus Erickson. Did we hear from his name anywhere?
I think I mentioned it. Oh, 12th.
Okay.
So
I was trying to figure out who may have been the other car there.
I don't know who finished 19th or 20th. Connor Daly got one of those two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But we know the top 19. So Pato Award back on number one in the podium for the first time this season. His third career win in IndyCar. So.
And you know, Pato now has won on three different kinds
of. Three different types.
I mean, he's won a street race. He's won an oval. And he's now won the natural terrain road course.
But
a tremendous run for him. Let's see. Finishing. There we go. David Malukas was 20th. So Connor was 19th. Jack Harvey was 18th. And that's the way it looked. But looking at the points now, and this is incredibly interesting because we're heading into the month of May in Indianapolis, and you have the double points for the Indy 500. So this could change quite a bit, especially if you're really in the top six in points here. So you've got Alex Palou leading the way with 144 points. Scott McLaughlin is three back. Joseph Newgarden is nine back. Will Power is 10 back. So the top four are covered by 10 points.
Right there.
Right. So, you know, if any of those guys has a bad month of May, you know, now you're playing from behind. So the pressure for those particular drivers to perform at Indy is going to be immense. So then you've got Pato, who is with 114 points, so he's 30 out. Scott Dixon is only 31 points out. And,
he's,
you know,
right there.
We talked about him, and, you know, he and Power have had two very veteran type years so far where they just have gotten, you know, Will Power hasn't finished outside the top four yet this season. And, you know, he had an awful year last year where he just couldn't get anything going. And then, you know, he had the win in the bag. I think it was at Detroit, and then they had a red flag late. They had to stop everything. He couldn't get the car restart. I mean, he just had a nightmare year. Had all the qualifying troubles at Indy, barely made the field, and bashed the wall on his qualifying attempt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got on a bad strategy during the race. I mean, just everything that seemed to happen last year with Will Power did. So to see him, you know, back and being Will Power is pretty cool. He hasn't won a race yet, but certainly he's there. You know, you got Pato then at 114, Dixon at 113, Rinus VK 106 in points, and Romain Grosjean is the other triple-digit point winner right now. He's only 43 points out of first. So
I mean, you win the 500, and that's a snap of a finger.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're a guy like Pelot and he doesn't have a good Indy 500 and Romain Grosjean does, mm-hmm. and some of these other guys don't, you could be talking about him being a points leader or at least in a better position. Then you have Marcus Ericsson, Graham Rahal, Herta. They're all kind of bunched up there around 10th place. After that, we get into the disappointing side of things. Simon Pagenaud, I think being with the new team has been a little bit of a disappointment for him, but I think he kind of expected that going to a new team, and they're still trying to get going. There's no excuse for Alexander Rossi at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems I don't know what's going on at Andretti with that team, but Rossi has all the talent in the world. We saw him actually in the Fast Six in this race, and then he wasn't a factor really in the race. I know he and Grosjean had a little bit of a run-in. So did Herta. And then, you know, that's another guy that's having a disappointing year, I think, with Colton Herta. I think a lot of people expected him, especially with all the talk around him going to F1. I think a lot of people expected him to step up, and he really was looking to dominate that race at Long Beach and then crashed mm-hmm. out, which is exactly what he did at Nashville. Then you got Takuma Sato with a new team at Dale Coyne. I think he's on the back nine of his career. Christian Lundgaard, who's brand new at Rahal, I think probably expected him to maybe struggle a little bit. Felix Rosenqvist, now that's another guy that's a veteran at this point and really struggling a bit for that Arrow McLaren team. When you see one guy who's doing really well and you see Felix who's struggling a bit, I would think that he's probably a little bit nervous. Elio, I think a lot of people expected a little more out of him this year. But
it has been disappointing, to say the least.
And he's had some bad luck. You know, I think this week, obviously had the crash at Indy and testing of his winning car from last year. So that's a little bit nerve-wracking. But he had that crash. And then you go to this week, and he gets caught up in Alexander Rossi's crash in practice, and it penalizes him for getting hit by debris. I mean, I don't understand that in the IndyCar rule book, but Elio's really kind of had a struggle. Then he's right in front of Jimmy Johnson, which, you know, if you're Elio Castroneves, I don't think that's really what you came back to IndyCar to do. Connor Daly, Kyle Kirkwood, who's been impressive at times in the Foyt team. Jack Harvey, who has really, I mean, you passed on Santino Ferrucci to go bring Jack Harvey over, and Jack Harvey's struggling this year. And, you know, Santino in one race in that car was in the top 10. I don't know. Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan, they're within our listening area. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, David Malukas is a rookie. Callum Ilott's a rookie. He's been impressive. Devlin DeFrancesco, then Dalton Kellett, Tatiana Calderon, and then you got the one-offs so far this year. Santino, who filled in for Jack Harvey at Texas, Ed Carpenter, who was, of course, only Texas. Runs the ovals. So Ed Carpenter, who will be, I think, more than competitive at Indy this year, looking at their package and what they've got with Chevy. I think the Chevys are going to be really good at Indy
mm-hmm.
this year. And then J.R. Hildebrand bringing up the last in the rear. As far as rookie of the year goes, right now, Christian Lundegaard is heading up the rookie of the year standings. Then Kyle Kirkwood, he's got him by 4 points. David Malukas and Kyle Ilott. Then Tatiana Calderon and then Devlin DeFrancesco. So that's the way it looks. Now we head to the month of May as we get set. Of course, the mini marathon is this weekend, along with our WBDG 56 marathon is this weekend. But the mini marathon is back this year. So it is this weekend. And then we start a week preparing for the Grand Prix.
So
GMR Grand Prix.
The month of May, and we're going to have lots to talk about, and upcoming Shows
then,
in weeks.
Then Mother's Day, and that Monday they turn the track around, and then we are ready for the 106th running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indy 500. And that's Christmas for IndyCar fans.
It really is. It's the best month it can get.
And I mean, I think it's, we've already talked about this ad nauseum, but I think it's going to be a really interesting month of May. Especially, we kind of glossed over it there. There was some legitimate beef at the end of this race in Alabama. If you don't know if you saw it, but Romain Grosjean got into Graham Rahal. Looked like it was maybe sort of intentional. Romain swears that it's not. Said it was just, you know, aggressive racing. I don't know how turning into somebody is aggressive racing. Maybe that's what they do in F1. I don't think that's what they do in F1. Because I've watched some F1 races, and typically that's not what they do in F1. But, you know, some very interesting comments from Graham Rahal, who's never been one like his father to hide his feelings.
Yeah.
Graham will tell you what he thinks, and that's what makes him awesome. And he and Romain Grosjean are not happy. And I know that he has said that if IndyCar doesn't do something, they better not penalize him when he does. That's kind of what he left it at. So you hope this doesn't boil over in the Indy 500 to something, because, you know, running into somebody on purpose at Indy could be
bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Not only for you, but for the other drivers. But, you know, if he has a chance to give him a little bump.
He might.
He might. So that's something to watch heading into the month of May. And I only think that this beef is good for IndyCar, especially who it's involving. Because Grosjean has a lot of attention because of who he is coming from F1. Man, you watch IndyCar Twitter now. It is alive. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the ratings yet for Barber, but I'm assuming they were probably pretty good. Wasn't a whole lot on this weekend. You know, I know Long Beach was up against the Masters, some other things, but I would assume that the ratings are going to be good because a lot of people are talking about this now. You've even got like NASCAR YouTubers putting out videos about IndyCar, which, I mean, I just think it's a really good time for IndyCar, and I think this only adds to it. I think this is the kind of personality stuff that we wanted for so long, because it just seemed like IndyCar was just full of nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you got Alexander Rossi out there dropping cuss words and official IndyCar stuff. You know, he said his attitude was, I don't give a, you know, that was his attitude this year. I just think that it's very good for the sport, and there's a lot of attention back on IndyCar. So, I don't know. We'll see what the interest is like as we head into the biggest event in the season for IndyCar. It's right in the middle of the year, too.
Yeah.
So. Be like putting the Super Bowl in the middle of the NFL season.
That would be weird.
That would be weird.
But hey, it's the month of May. It's upon us, and we'll talk about it more of this.
And watch this week. We may have a 33rd entry to talk about on Thursday.
So we will see. But I'm going to leave off the show with a joke I saw on Twitter. It says, this is about an NBA joke. So it says, never ask a woman her age. Never ask a man his salary. And then never ask Doc Rivers why he has a Dolph trip scheduled during the Eastern Conference Finals. So if that tells you anything about the 76ers fans, they are not happy with Doc Rivers.
No.
But that's going to be it for the show. Thanks for joining us. It's been a good one. Talked about a lot. The podcast will be up soon after. If you missed some parts, you can listen, hear it back. We talked everything, NFL draft, Colts NFL draft, more NBA playoffs, IndyCar, and more. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you this Thursday.